What is going on, everybody? And welcome back to episode 350 of the Pesky Report, brought to you by Beyond the Monster. 350 episodes. That feels like a little bit of a milestone, even though it's like kind of like, it's not like 250 where it's halfway to 500. It's not 400, but it still feels like a milestone. I don't know.
Can we celebrate your half birthday?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, very much so.
We're almost there.
It's nice to hit a solid number, but like maybe not worth celebrating yet. Either way, I'm Matthew Corey, joined today by Doink and Kevin Baver, and this is the official podcast of the Injury Report, also known as the Boston Red Sox. Series win, back-to-back series wins now. So feeling pretty good about this. Obviously, since we recorded last, we took on the Cubbies at home, took on the Giants at home, and only lost two games. How are you guys feeling?
I hate when they lose the last game of the series that they won, because I just I'm mad about today still, but that's a me problem. It was a good homestand. They are 500 at home now since they lost today. They were above 500 at home for a second yesterday, but we'll get them next time.
They'll get back there.
But I think our thing worked.
I was going to say, were they actually at home? Because I'm pretty sure that like maybe they weren't. They were home, but like maybe they weren't home. You know what I mean? I think mentally, our plan did work. Yeah.
Yes,
our, I think the our plan fake works. Dome that we're gonna trick them all into seeing. We had some like new layers too. Like there was a lot of roster churning, so like maybe they were able to like really confuse those guys too, kind of get them in on it, in confusing everyone else into thinking they're on the road. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like they look out at their own team, they don't even recognize them. They look in the dugout, they don't know who these guys are. You know, they're like, oh. Oh, maybe we are not at home, you know?
Since when are you on this team?
What? Tom Smith?
Imagine when Dominic Smith showed up to the clubhouse. They were all just like, what the heck happened here? But
I'm a huge fan of this like random like double. They just got two new Bobbies and they're like, bye. Thank you for your services. Like, that'll be enough now. I honestly, like, if I had to just, like, if you told me to pick two pretty, like, slapdick first baseman replacements, like, Dom Smith low-key would have been on my, like, short five list. I love that dude so much. I'm so excited that he's finally a Red Sox, even though he's not really what he was supposed to be.
He's the perfect join the team and get DFA'd in August type of guy. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, him and Garrett Cooper will pretty much just be like trying to earn that job for like if/when Tristan comes back. But no, Dom Smith is a great guy.
Yeah. He's got an uphill battle though, because he's lefty. Casas is also lefty. Yes. So tough road ahead. Makes me kind of wish that we had a certain guy who also could wear number two still on the team that could potentially have been playing first base and batting right-handed. But, you know, can't always get what you want, as some people say.
No comment.
No comment. So
who's hitting like 200 right now?
Oh, I wasn't talking about Xander, but that's fine.
Oh. Yeah, no, I miss Justin Turner too.
Yeah, JT, you know, the guy who plays number two.
Xander can play first.
No.
Oh, yeah, no, I miss JT always.
JT for sure. So let's just go over a couple of the transactions here that have taken place. So, started off with Masataka Yoshida coming out of the game when we talked last, it was the game against the Indians, right? He hurt his wrist. I believe it was the second Was that really that series, or was it the Cubs? Why am I forgetting?
It's retroactive to the 20th of April. So, the Cubs. Right? Isn't it the 26th or Cubs, the 29th?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that.
Okay, yeah, it was the second.
I thought it was the Cubs.
Okay. Yeah, so it was the Cubs. It was the end of the Cubs series, because that was when we were finalizing the Garrett Cooper deal. Okay, yeah. So, Masataka Yoshida went on the 10-day injured list. We announced it on May 1st, retroactive to April 29th, with a left thumb sprain. We designated pitcher Vladimir Gutierrez for assignment. And we agreed to a one-year contract with Dom Smith. And added him to the active Major League roster, and he is now wearing number 2. So now my City Connect jersey is a Dom Smith jersey. So
yeah, I loved all the Dom Smith jersey jokes. That's always a good one.
Yeah. The best part about City Connect jerseys is they don't have a name on them. So like if you want to go out and get a Kike Hernandez jersey that they're selling on sale, they're actually Vaughn Grissom jerseys. So just putting that out there.
There you go.
That's where I got my Xander Bogaerts one on sale, which was actually my JT one, which was actually now my Dom Smith jersey. So that was the first move. We actually, before that, we designated our sweet prince, Pablo Reyes, for assignment. Can we just have a moment of silence for Pablo Reyes? Thank you. That was
I miss him. It was the right move, and you can't be mad about it because it's really not that good. But I'm a diehard Pablo Reyes defender.
I don't disagree.
It hurts. It's
what a vibes guy. Just like out of nowhere, just like total vibes guy, and he's gone now.
And I like how he wore his hat, like, just kind of on the tip of his head a little bit. Like,
and, like,
not real
to the
down
side a little
like,
bit.
He just looked like he was, like, ready to play in the Little League World Series at any moment. And I just love that about him. But it was the right.
I still have Dave O'Brien's call in the back of my head of him hitting the walk-off Grand Slam last year. And just that. You know, amazing call that they use in like all their promo. Nesson used in all their promo videos the rest of the year. Just the swing and a drive deep down the line, and that ball is gone. Oh, God. Pablo.
Best part of that home run is like how he didn't even hesitate. Like that was like so not a no doubter. But he just started running his ass down the line anyways and like flipped his hat. And that is my favorite part of that clip. Oh, fly high. Maybe he'll clear
it. I remember. Well, that's true. That's true. Just like Joe Jakes cleared waivers. Oh, no. Joely Rodriguez cleared waivers.
Which was surprising. I was surprised about that.
Yeah, that was a little bit surprising. But
like
I think it had something
like,
to.
He's like not super good, but he's a serviceable left-handed reliever sometimes. Like I thought maybe someone would have. I don't know, but nice to have.
Well, I think they released him. What, Kevin?
I said I think Joe. Personally that someone would have was going to scoop up Joel. I really did. I thought someone was going to say, hey, you know what? He's serviceable. We're going to take a shot on him. So for him to clear waivers, I was kind of like, that's tough.
I think there was some intention behind the day that they designated him for assignment. I think that they knew that the May 1st opt-outs were coming up and there was going to be a lot of roster crunching / moving around that was about to happen. So I actually think they might have designated him when they did with the hopes that he would clear waivers because other teams are waiting for those moves.
Right.
Similar to like designating someone to us for assignment like directly after spring training because everyone's just cut down all their rosters and try to sneak them through.
Yeah.
So that could have happened, but yeah, he's back in Worcester now. Obviously he's not on the 40 man anymore. So if he was going to come back up, that would require him to be added back on, and he doesn't have any options. So yeah, we designated Pablo Reyes for assignment. Fingers crossed that he hangs out down in the minors. That would be great for the vibes down in AAA. We added Garrett Cooper to the major league roster via trade for cash considerations. That guy's getting around. We also traded for a left-handed pitcher on April 30th, Bailey Horn from the Chicago White Sox, in exchange for the same cash considerations. We optioned him to AAA Worcester. We also made a trade for, let's see here. Did they officially announce the trade yet? Let's see. Yeah, so we added infielder Zach Short via a trade with the Mets.
Yeah, he played today. It's finalized. Yep.
Yes, this is true. Short.
He batted ninth.
Someone does have to be on the team to be able to play the last time I checked. So that checks out.
That was an interesting one. We'll see.
Yeah, I want to get some thoughts on that. But in order to move him to the active roster, we had to option Emmanuel Valdez to AAA Worcester. So Emmanuel Valdez has been optioned. And the move prior to that. I wish this was pulled ahead. We see Bailey Horn. Where's the other guy we traded for? Oh, yeah, we traded for Zach Short from the New York Mets in exchange for cash considerations. And I thought there was one other guy that we got to, but maybe not. So, yeah, we got some new faces in the dugout now. We've got Vaughn Grissom getting optioned. Activated tomorrow. We had Bobby Dahlbeck optioned back to AAA today.
No so moment of silence necessary.
Sorry to
Kevin's Bobby. Daughter, who was a big fan.
I know. She's, you know what? She's getting used to it. So like,
you just take her to Worcester because like she'd actually get to see.
Skin. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Because then she'd actually get to see him play well.
Yes. Because he's going to go down and bat 415 and 16 homers and 65 runs driven in.
Prince of the Woo.
I was talking to my 4-year-old about Bobby Dahlbeck the other day, and she says, "Who's Barbie Doll's back?"
That's good.
I was like, close enough. Close enough. How are we feeling about the lineup right now? You know, the way it's configured, we've got Vaughn Grissom coming back playing second base. We've got Sedan Rafaela at shortstop. We've got Rafi playing third. We've got the platoon of Cooper and Dom Smith playing first base. We've got Willier and Rev Snyder playing right field. We've got Duran playing center, O'Neill playing left. Maybe all four of those guys are playing depending on the day. We've got, you know, Reese, we've got Wong, best catcher in the league right now, best player in the league right now, Connor Wong, tearing it up in catcher. How do we feel about this lineup and the way that the team has been put together as of, you know, May 2nd? Kevin?
Listen, I'm okay with it. The front office, Breslow, is the names aren't flashy, the trades aren't flashy, the moves aren't flashy, but it looks like they're doing just enough, almost to like keep your head above water. Which I'm kind of okay with. It's not like, hey, we're just going to go down with the ship. Everybody, just hold on. You know, 2025 will be here before you know it. No, like they're actually making some sort of calculated decisions. Now, like I said, are they flashy? No. Having Vaughn back, I think, is going to be huge. Having a platoon of Cooper and Smith at first while Tristan is out, I think it's serviceable. I mean, Bobby wasn't doing us any favors. So it might not be the most flashy. To me, it's let's keep our head above water. And somehow, some way, we're able to do that. I mean, you know, first 30 games, 17 and 13. I mean, they lost today, 17 and 14. It's who would have thought? You know, I thought it was going to get ugly quick, and I don't know. It hasn't gone that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you lose, you know,
18 and 14.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 8-14.
Four games.
Sorry.
Yeah, four games.
When you lose, your like you one of your best hitters, if not your best hitter, and you also lose your best defender, and then you also lose three starting pitchers and like an out, like there's 14 people on the injured list right now. That is not like, no, maybe the Orioles could sustain that with their depth in house, but like you have to get creative when you have that many people on the injured list. And props to Brez. He's like, I mean, I don't know what I would have done differently. Like, some people are like, why haven't they signed Brandon Belt? It's like, because he's not going to be ready for 3 more weeks. Like, he's just sitting at home. Yeah. Like, he's still going to need 3 weeks to get ramped up. Tommy Pham would have been fun, but like, he's saving the White Sox now. I don't know what I would have done differently. And like, the best part is it doesn't, like, it's all being covered up because the pitching is so good. The pitching is absolutely carrying this roster right now, and they're getting healthy. Like, as I mean, I hope the bats stay hot. They kind of like go hot game by game and cold game by game. So we'll see. I hope we get hot bats in Minnesota, but the pitching is just, you can't overstate how huge that's been for this team, despite still only having 2 of your original rotation members healthy right now.
And those 2 happen to be both in the top 10 in ERA.
Literally insane.
Yeah. Yes.
Tanner Houck is a starting pitcher now. Yeah. Like, the Tanner Houck third time through the order thing just like stopped existing.
Sounds, it's so crazy. Like Dave Bush. Sounds more like a Dave Bush 3 times through the order thing, if we're being honest.
Well, I mean, some guys, you know, didn't struggle with it. But for Tanner, it was like, everyone knows the shout out pot on Lansdowne. They're great. 6.5 bit where it's his ERA third time through the order. It's bad. It used to be so bad, and it's crazy. You just don't even notice it anymore. He just pitches into the 7th inning or pitches a Maddux, and that's just who he is now. So sad.
So I want to backtrack to talking about the additions again here before we kind of dive into how great the pitching has been, because even in this series and in the Cubs series, it's just been phenomenal. But I really want to, I guess, call out what I appreciate about Breslow right now making these moves is he's showing that he's not going to wait around, and that if there's a need, he's going to address it. Doesn't mean it has to be some huge move. We don't have to go trade for another star right now. But he's not just letting the roster sit. And I think that the only reason we didn't see some of these moves sooner is because they were waiting for closer to that May 1st deadline when teams were going to have to exercise some of these opt-outs. Because that's the only thing that makes sense, seeing 3 moves like this come back to back to back, you know, with getting Smith, getting Cooper, and then getting Short. Like, you see those 3 moves coming together very quickly. They've been struggling on the defensive side and the offensive side with like these injury replacements. It's all like, that's best, the best way to put it. Like, the problem with this team hasn't been the starting pitching. It hasn't. It hasn't been the outfielders. It hasn't. It hasn't been the catchers. It really hasn't been, you know, so any of those guys. The bullpen's been fine. Like, maybe a little weaker than the starting pitching, sure, but our staff in general is the lowest ERA in baseball. So we have also a top 5 offense in almost every single major category: home runs, OPS, stolen base, on base percentage. We're leading the league in ERA, starting pitcher ERA. So you have all those things going into each other. It's like, well, what could the problem be? The problem has been the defense, with the defense specifically with the guys filling in for injury. Second base, shortstop, third base. Ever since they put Rafaela at shortstop, this team has just seemed like they have an identity again. They've seemed solid. And not even to say Rafaela hasn't been, he's not been perfect at short. Like, he's overthrown a couple of throws. He's made some really great plays. But like, as soon as he started playing there, then Valdez turned into Dustin Pedroia at second base, making every diving play in the book. He just forgot how to hit, unfortunately, which is why he's back down in Worcester. But those replacement level guys have been the problem. And you couldn't have foreseen that those injuries to Story, to Grissom, to Devers for that period of time, to Casas now, you couldn't have predicted those injuries at the beginning of the season, because going in, everyone was healthy. So I think to say, hey, we didn't really prepare for this, is a little unfair to the organization. And now that Craig's had an opportunity to address this, it only took him 2.5 weeks to address an issue and to be able to at least put something in there right now. I can only imagine that this is a sign of maybe this is actually going to be an active deadline for us. You know, like, that's kind of what I'm, I guess, maybe the most looking forward to, is if he knows we need something, he knows that teams are going to be selling, because he knows that's the specific time of the year that people are selling. Same with this deadline from May 1st. I hope that means that we might actually get some reinforcements if needed come that time.
Yeah, he's been aggressive, which is great. And like, I think thinking about the deadline way too early, I feel like with the way he's handled getting all these replacements in, like, I think he could actually pull off doing a buy and a sell at the deadline, because that's probably what this team would benefit most from. It's not like we're going to make a deep postseason run, but like, I could see like an actual successful buy and sell, where maybe you do like this team could probably use a bit of a prospect dump just to kind of like clear out a little space. I can see that happening. I don't know. It's pretty cool. I wasn't expecting to have so much trust.
I thought we were going to be the most obvious sellers ever. Martin,
yeah,
Jansen.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill wants an extension. He wants to. He's like pandering to stay in Boston. He's like, I really like it here. Yes. If he can like play 120 games this year, sign me up for a Tyler O'Neill extension. I don't care. He's so fun.
If he can hit, so like, this is the thing, is like, I'm looking at the free agent class next year, and you never know like what's going to happen with some of these deals. You know, you got Soto at the top of the list. We're not getting Soto, and I don't know that we want Soto. We don't need another outfielder.
Really, honestly. Bad roster fit, which sucks, but
no. Yeah, it sucks. And it's like, if you know, people make the argument like, well, if you can get the best player in baseball for, you know, the rest of his career, then you're going to do it. But it just doesn't make any sense. But we got Alonso potential. You know, it looks like Alonso is going to be a free agent, and I could see people clamoring to say, hey, well, let's get that right-handed power bat in the lineup. And like, here's the thing, if Tyler O'Neill can stay healthy this year and hit 40 jacks, why can't he be the right-handed power bat that we retain to stay as a DH? And we don't have to probably dish out as long of a contract, as much of a contract. And he wants to stay. He's familiar with the team. He's shown he can dominate. I'd be fine with something like that to bridge the gap until, you know, again, we have an outfielder problem where Roman Anthony's knocking on the door. We've got an infielder problem because, you know, Marcelo Meyer is knocking at the door. And we've already got, you know, Devers, Story, Grissom, and Casas. So where's Marcelo going to play, right? And then you have to push somebody out. Maybe we push Rafi to DH. Well, then you have an outfielder problem again, because where's Massa going to play? Massa's locked in for 4 more years or 3 more years after this. You know, we've got Duran. We've got Abreu, who's shown to be a star, an absolute everyday star. Rev Snyder's not going to be a long-term fit for here, but we're not even talking about Rev Snyder. So then you already have, oh, and then Rafaela. I didn't even mention Rafaela. And then Roman Anthony, like, you're starting to like look at all these pieces, it's like, oh my goodness, where are these guys going to play? Where would Tyler O'Neill even fit into that if these prospects are banging on the door the next year? So it's an interesting concept, and it does make it difficult to want to let go of any of these guys. But Craig's kind of in a position where he could kind of sell two guys for one. You know what I mean? Sell three, two guys in a prospect and upgrade.
Consolidation trade is like really what this is looking like, where maybe you can find a starting pitcher who like you could extend. I think that's like what's most likely going to happen at the deadline. Little just like pluck from all the excess that there is, even in AAA in the minors. I don't know. It could be fun. It'll be cool. We'll see. It's really far away.
It's far away, but to have depth and to have options is a fantastic thing. I mean, to have depth and options, most major league rosters, they want that. And if it does come down to a deadline where we are consolidating some prospects or even, you know, players that are already up at Fenway, these are not, I know the injuries look bad, right? But when you're doing roster construction, these are not bad problems to have, right? And I, like I said, a lot of the moves aren't sexy, right? They're not prolific, right? But they keep you in contention. They keep your head above water, right? Until some guys start getting healthy. And then if all of a sudden this team is somewhere around maybe playing meaningful games in August and September, you have depth to move. So that's a really cool position to kind of be in. So I don't know. It should be interesting.
Yeah, it's only been a month. We're way too early to talk about the postseason. It's way too early. But I do want to talk about a couple of things that are pretty cool, because we already started talking about how great the starting pitching has been, carrying us into kind of the position we're in right now. These are, I just keep talking about JP Long and Sox notes here. I feel like every week we're quoting him, but he's got a lot of great nuggets, works for the Red Sox in the PR department. A lot of the graphics they put out are the stats that he pulls. He shouts out Elias Sports Group for this one, but the Red Sox currently, this was prior to today's start, so I'm not sure how this might have moved with Winkowski's start today. But after yesterday's game, the Red Sox led the major league with a 2.0 starting pitcher ERA, which is the club's lowest mark in the live ball era. So from 1920 to present, they have never had a starting pitcher ERA this low. It's the lowest starting ERA for any team since the 1972 Dodgers, who started at a 1.70, and the lowest for an American League team since Cleveland in 1968, where they started out with a 1.80.
Yeah, it's awesome. But the frustrating part is, what's their record with like when they don't allow an unearned run? They're like 17-1 or something when they don't allow an unearned run. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn,
They've lost four games. They lost four games. If Trevor
Story was healthy, this team would have they would have lost like five games. Oh well.
Yeah. It's the expected win total right now is like 20 games for us.
It would definitely be higher than that. I'm gonna call out the stats on that one. I think they have at least four more wins. Saying Trevor Story is a four WAR player, but like the defensive misalignment that happens purely because of his absence, we all know it.
Oh yeah. But sometimes they're crediting. Yeah, like they're crediting singles to these guys. It's clearly an error, but they credit a single. Like there's more going on there than I think it's as obvious. But you're spot on with that. The record could be even better.
That's crazy.
As of yesterday, prior to the loss, we were on an 84 win pace. So that's obvious. I'm sorry, 94 win pace, not an 84 win pace. So that's pretty great. If you want to look at the American League leaders in slugging percentage with a minimum of 40 plate appearances for this year, The Red Sox, prior to today's game, owned number one, number two, and number three in the American League for slugging percentage. It's Tyler O'Neill leading the way at a 658. Does anyone want to guess who number two is? If you don't already know the answer. Who on the Red Sox is number two in slugging percentage in the AL?
Oh, Wong? I know that one. Isn't it Connor Wong? Yeah, it's Connor Wong.
Oh, right? So Connor Wong is actually number three.
Oh, because the top three is O'Neill, Wong, and Willier?
No. Nope.
Yeah, Brayer.
This will surprise you.
I remember seeing this today, and it already left my brain.
Rob freaking right. Lefsnyder.
How could I
forget? Wow.
I remember seeing the graphic today, and I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, it's O'Neill, like the top four in the AL in slugging is like Tyler O'Neill, Rob Refsnyder, Connor Wong, and then Gunnar Henderson in fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. Gunnar Henderson is number four. So,
oh, that's like a really small sample size, though. It's like a 40 plate appearance sample size. So it's a little bit of narrative ball coming from the Red Sox admin, but I respect it.
It's not a 40 plate appearance sample size. It's just minimum. You have to have at least 40 plate appearances to show up in the list.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, still, like, it's obviously early.
Like, how many
plays? Tyler O'Neill was injured for like a week. Reb Snyder was injured for a while. But I think they wanted to try and finagle the at-bats to at least include Reb Snyder in that list. So they, like... Yeah.
No, I respect the narrative ball. Rob Refsnyder has 35 plate appearances. So, like, or 35.
I don't know what.
35 at bats. And then I think he just hit 40 plate appearances.
Oh, well, that actually makes sense. Well, no, he had five walks and one hit by pitch.
There you go.
So that's, he actually has batted more than 40 times. 41. But yeah, so
he started
the season 0-3. And then since then, he's batted .423 with a .531 on base percentage, a .769 slug percentage, and a 1300 OPS since going 0-3. He's walked five times, one hit by pitch, four doubles, one triple, one home run, 11 for 26.
Love that for him.
Hitting righties, yeah, Rob just mashing lefties.
Yeah, he kind of like didn't exist last year for this team, so it's cool. It's cool to see him like jump back in and have a role. He plays amazing defense, which doesn't hurt. You know, not having a single, I mean, I love Massa and I still think you can play him in left field at Fenway, but not having to deal with balls bouncing off the wall and having them just be outs is also nice.
Speaking of amazing defense,
healthy and put up some numbers.
Oh yeah. With nine toes too. It's pretty incredible.
Nine toes. Mm-hmm.
You know who else has nine toes but is not hitting as well as Rob Refsnyder?
Who's that? Aaron Judge?
Yep.
Yep.
He's officially below the Mendoza line today.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah, it's rough.
Does he have any options left?
That would be funny.
Aaron Judge send their
captain to go play in... What, Somerset? Is that their AAA team?
Somerset. Patriots, baby.
Is that their AAA or their AA team?
Are they still in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre? Is that their
AAA? Oh, yeah. No, it's Scranton. Right? You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Scranton. And then Somerset AA is. Somerset. Yeah.
Fuck it. Send them down to Somerset.
I mean, Jose Abreu just got optioned to the Florida Gulf Coast League.
Crazy.
I did find out
this is crazy. Yeah.
That fact, though, you have to agree to it as a player with that much experience in order to be optioned. So kudos to him for acknowledging a problem and accepting an option, because he's batting less than 100 this year. Looked absolutely terrible at the plate. Yeah. Bobby Dalbec had a higher batting average than him.
That contract is like, they didn't even get value out of that contract like at all. Like it's not like he had a good start. It's just been negative value for the duration of that contract, which kind of love to see it. It's pretty
funny. I'm embarrassed to say that I was like pushing for the Red Sox to sign
him. A lot of people wanted him.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a strong narrative.
We had to. We had just watched Bobby Dalbec and Franchi Cordero play first base for the entirety of a season, and we're like, no, we cannot do this again.
All of a sudden, Jose Abreu looks fantastic. Looks like an awesome option.
Guy can hit, play first base. Like, let's do it. But no, he has not been good. That's an option. But anyways, talking about that's just came to my mind when we were talking about options. Maybe Aaron Judge will accept an option. That would be something else. But we were talking about you mentioned defense as well from Rev Snyder. He said he plays great defense in the outfield. Honestly, even more impressive than Rob's defense has been Willier Abreu's defense in right. I tweeted it out the other day. I said, I don't know if I've ever felt this confident that if a ball sits to right field is going to be caught, even with Verdugo. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Willier is so fast, which is hilarious to me. It cracks me up every single time I see him run because I forget every single time. One of these days I'll remember that he's fast. But like his ball tracking ability is insane. He doesn't take bad routes to balls ever. And that's just how he does it.
Yeah, I was going to say this. His route, the way he gets to the ball, how quickly he gets to the ball, there's not a step that doesn't have a purpose with him in right field. And that is such a blessing to have. And he's made a couple eye-opening plays out there. So for a team that's struggling so much defensively, as we said before, you know, this, you're talking maybe 20 plus wins for this team, to have Willier out there just absolutely shagging down everything is just that's awesome.
Yeah, he rules.
Yeah,
he's like tied for rookie of the year front runner with Colton Cowser, in my opinion.
That's honestly,
I would love to see Willier go from like not even being on like FanDuel, like you can't even bet on me. Maybe you can now, I haven't checked, but like up until like last week, last time I checked, you can't even like bet on him to win rookie of the year.
He was on DraftKings preseason, and it was plus 5,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was probably like 50,000. No way.
It was aggressive.
Sedan was like plus 4,000. Like I remember, like a few weeks before the season, and then when the season started, it got as high to, it dropped to plus 1,200. And I was like, oh, Vegas is starting to keep an eye on this kid. But he's got a few things to tweak out.
Of course, you know, one person who's not even on the list yet, but obviously he's going to win Rookie of the Year. Sorry to say Colton Cowser. Sorry to say Willier Abreu. Sorry, Sedan Rafaela. Justin Slayton's winning Rookie of the Year, guys. We already talked about this.
True.
That was my preseason prediction, literally coming true. So we'll keep revisiting this. I'm sure his odds will show up eventually, but put that out there right now. Willier's defense, that's my closer. Yes, 100%. Willier's defense, he is 96th percentile arm strength. He's 81 percentile in outfield range. He has a positive one out above average. And let's see here. Defensive metrics here. He comes in about 3%. I guess like I'm trying to like figure out the best way to read the outs above average like metrics. But the estimated success rate versus his actual success rate on his attempts is he's 3% more successful than they originally had estimated. So he's making catches at a higher rate than is probable, which is something that makes me feel really good about when he balls are hit out into the outfield there. He also is extremely elite when it comes to his outfield jump. So he's like positive in all of his reaction time, his like feet movement versus the average, and his routes run. So positive guy out there. I'm happy for him. Happy for him.
Rubbing off on Jaren, that's maybe awesome. Too. Jaren's been playing an excellent center field, which you also love to see. No complaints about him out there. He looked great today, especially playing in the sun.
Yeah, can't be the same. Cannot be said for whoever it was that drops the Don's double.
It was Jung-Hoo Lee, but he's also very not used to playing in the sun. So I'll give him that. It's all domed in the KBO, so gets a little past. It was very funny because he's a really good defender. So like you'll never get to see him drop a ball like that. And I don't think he was he looked like he confused himself a lot. Like the way he just like sat down. It was really funny.
He immediately made up for it though. Like robbing Duran.
And it mattered too, of course.
And it mattered. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was fun. I like Jung-Hoo Lee. Jung-Hoo Lee. They got vibes in that outfield.
Yeah.
Got Yaz over there.
It's cool to see. I know we lost, but it's cool to see Yaz hit a home run at Fenway. It's always cool.
Whatever. I just wanted him to go. You know, like wave it, even if it's not even close to being foul.
That's not Yaz.
Like, I know, but he was in. Oh. He's in the background of that picture. Yeah. He's on that team. Like,
yeah.
He is
right. Doink's passive aggressiveness towards Yaz was just absolutely phenomenal. Like, yeah, you hit a home run. Awesome. It's great.
I genuinely was just like. My reaction was just like, it's cool. Like, you are literally the only person I'm not going to get mad at.
Yes.
For hitting a home run against the Red Sox. Just because it's cool. And it's also really funny that apparently he, like, got to see his grandpa this morning. But, like, Carl just dipped, I guess. They didn't have any information on it until the end of the broadcast. But they were like, oh, yeah, apparently he was, like, only in the park for 15 minutes. Like that
short stay. Short stay.
I wanted how many games did he actually play in his career, Yaz? And then let's compare it and be like, yeah, okay, you know, he's been at the ballpark a few times. He probably
I think he's had enough.
Once you've seen one, you've seen them all, you know.
Well, yeah, he had to go to the visitors clubhouse, which is notoriously bad on purpose. Don't update
it's that. Definitely not decked out like the new clubhouse is, which certainly the clubhouse not. Is sick. Gotta get in there sometime. If anyone knows how to get press passes, hit us up. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah. Another vibes guy, their closer, Duvall. Guy's nasty.
I was in San Francisco 2 weeks ago and I went to a Giants game and I got to see them do his like whole new like light show thing and it was fucking sick. It was like red flames coming out of the Jumbotron and like all the like LED lights were all red in like spotlights on the, it was sick. It was so sick.
You know what's really a bummer? Is like when the closer comes out and they have this awesome light show now because every stadium's getting LEDs and they have smokes and lasers and then freaking they have to stop in the middle of the field for the stupid like sticky stuff check. It like kills the vibe so hard. They're like, oh, it's just crazy. I also love seeing, I can't remember if we talked about this last podcast or not, we might have, but like there is this one video clip of Duvall entering the game and as he like throws his final warm-up pitch, they like cut the lights in the stadium and like the he was like mid-throw And
that was Camilla Duval.
Yeah,
that's right. I think it was. Yeah. Okay. That was really funny.
It was Duval. Was literally like, check on the catcher.
Yeah. Please somebody check on the catcher because it just goes pitch black like the minute pitch black.
So dangerous.
Yeah, 100 miles an hour right in the face. Fantastic timing, honestly. I would love to trade for him somehow. That'd be pretty sweet. Also, really like to see the Red Sox beat up on Logan Webb. And break up his 19 inning scoreless streak. That was sick. Game one, offense really held its own. I was very happy with that. And Cooper Criswell out-dueling Logan Webb. That was sick. Cooper Criswell is down to a sub-2 ERA on the season. Andrew Bailey, man, can basically save your life.
He's doing is absolutely insane. I mean, I know, Matt, you gave out all the stats about Team ERA and what they're at, but it's not only that; it's the demeanor. You know, when I believe after the Tanner start, Garrett Whitlock said something like, "He's an ace. He is an ace," and like to just hear the guys kind of vibe off each other. And then obviously see it on the mound, and obviously the even better it comes in results is just freaking awesome. You know, Tanner to me, I mean, Cutter's looked great, Cooper Criswell's looked great, and that starting rotation has had its fair share of injuries, and hopefully some of these guys are going to start to come back, but Tanner is holding his own, and Webb looked a little lost. He looked a little lost. I mean, a couple singles, couple pitches outside the zone, couple calls he didn't get, and you could see it was kind of affecting him. I don't know if it was, you know, coming to the East Coast or whatever, but he definitely, I don't know, to me, I don't know if it was more so the Red Sox offense or he just didn't have his stuff.
I saw someone put out there that they were watching the Giants broadcast, and I guess the Giants broadcasters were saying that the Red Sox have had the best approach to hitting Webb that they've ever seen. And it was just staying away, you know, literally it was purposely trying to drive the fastball to the other field. And then if you've got the hanging breaking ball, then you can pull that and hook it. And like, that was their approach. And you saw it like Raffy over and over again, mm-hmm. opposite field, Jaren Duran. That was the game. He got three hits, I think.
Yeah.
Opposite field.
That game, you know, was sick.
That was a fun game.
That was awesome.
Cooper Criswell out dueling Logan Webb. That was electric. I mean, it makes sense. You know, it's Bailey is the one who created him, so he also knows how to defeat him.
This is true. Although he has kept his the Bailey strategy, you know, stay away from the fastball. Mm-hmm. Rely on your sweepers, and it's worked with Logan Webb. Logan Webb is just very talented, and imagine if we had him. This is all I can say.
Yeah.
I liked that game. Second game was fun when Jaren Duran hit that triple, back to back days with a triple. That was electric. Raffy was really hot in the series. I don't remember if there was anything else that was like noteworthy to talk about.
Abreu stayed hot. It was really good offense first two games. Today not so much, but
yeah. All right. Well, I think that kind of recaps the series, but it was a series victory. So who do we want to vote for our series MVP? I'll start with you, Doink.
I'm going Thick Willie all the way.
Thick Willie. I love that pick.
Whole lot of
RBIs. What about you?
I'm going Cooper just because I think it's funny. I'm going Cooper.
Set the tone. I mean, he did. Yeah, he set was...
Kevin, you have to clarify.
Which
Cooper? I'm sorry. Yes. I apologize. Cooper Criswell. Yeah, Cooper Criswell, game one. Set the tone head-to-head with Webb. And his stuff looked good. I mean, it's not going to obviously overpower you, but if he hits his spots, you know, who knows? He'll be a valuable arm.
Yeah. So for me, and I know he didn't play in every game. Actually, he might have played in every game. I got to go Connor Wong. Connor Wong was absolutely on fire. I know in the first game, that wasn't the first game. That was the Cutter Crawford game. He had three hits in that game. For whatever reason, I can't go back and look at the first game against Logan Webb. I don't think he actually played against Logan Webb, but he also had another walk today. So he's on base four times in the series. He also made that incredible play last night out in front of home plate. And that's like kind of what tipped the scale for me for him was like it's like this little check swing ground ball out in front of the plate. He goes out, slides on his knees, and just absolutely cannon fires it to first base. Sick play. Great defensive catcher. One of the best hitters in the league. Honestly, picked him up in my fantasy league, and I'm starting him in the utility role. So, because he's been that productive for me. I sat Colton Cowser and started Connor Wong over him.
Hell yeah.
So,
hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
I'm here for it. I love it. So, yeah, that's my prediction or my pick for this series.
Fuck yeah.
Doink, what do we got for this upcoming series?
We are going to Minnesota. And
these are hot.
and they're hot, kind of. Hot with an asterisk because they've played the White Sox twice and who was the series before that? It was,
I mean, they won 10 in a row. So that's,
yeah, that's, but it's 10 in a row against really bad teams.
Yeah. So they lost, they got swept by, okay. So this is interesting. They got swept by Baltimore and then they won one out of three against Detroit. Then they did a four-game sweep of the White Sox, a three-game sweep of the Angels, and another three-game sweep of the White Sox.
Yeah. Listen, Matt,
I'm not gonna sit here and say winning 10 games in a row isn't impressive. Stringing together wins is always tough, but you played the White Sox twice.
You're not bad.
Yeah, so, I'm with you there. When did we play the White Sox? Let me look up when we play the White Sox.
The White Sox this are is like my... much. Faster. They're my pick to have the fewest wins in all of baseball this year. I have money on it. I believe in that more than anything. I think they're just an absolute nightmare. But that doesn't mean the Twins aren't good. But I think I always get them mixed up because they both are hurt all the time. Byron Buxton left their game today with an injury. So Byron Buxton might not be playing. And he's like one of their best hitters. Game one tomorrow will be. They announced it's different on Fantasy Pros, but Hauk is going tomorrow against Chris Paddock. And then Saturday will be a bullpen game versus Pablo Lopez. And then Sunday will be Cooper Criswell versus Joe Ryan.
Pablo Lopez is really good.
Pablo Lopez is good. Joe Ryan like hates the Red Sox. He's if you look at his stats, I don't remember who showed this to me, but if you look at Joe Ryan's stats against the Red Sox, he has like his strikeout numbers are like twice as high against the Red Sox as they are against like every other team. So he's got some beef that I think is one-sided. So maybe we'll get to the bottom of that. I don't know. Like, we'll see. But yeah, Pablo Lopez rules. I love him.
Pablo Lopez is
a real fun pitcher. And Chris Paddock,
He's got a 5 ERA this, a 5.88 ERA.
Love that.
But he's 2-1.
All right. Well, they also have their like sausage. They have their, you know, you guys don't know what their sausage thing.
Yeah, what's that in the dugout, right? They have like a
that's their sausage.
Like in a cellophane wrapped sausage on the bench at all times.
Yeah, okay. It's just like it's like their dugout mascot that's like fueling this winter. So we'll see if the sausage prevails.
Sausage always prevails, so that checks out.
Patriarchy and such.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So Chris Paddock, 26 innings, 1.69 whip, 5 games, and he sucks. So he's not going to beat Tanner Houck. We'll win that game. Saturday, TBD versus Pablo Lopez.
Love TBD.
Pablo. He's put up a lot of solid starts over the last couple years for us. He's got a 1.04 whip, 37 strikeouts in 31 innings, a 4.83 ERA, and he's 2-2 with 6 starts. That's going to be a tough matchup. And then, of course, Cooper Criswell with a 1.65 ERA. Red Sox, he's got a 2-1 record, and he's going up against Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan's got 6 games started. He's 1-1 with 41 strikeouts in 34 innings and a 1.04 whip. And he's pitching better than his career average. How do we feel about this series prediction-wise? I'll start with you, Kevin. What are you going with?
Give me Cooper Criswell in the rubber match. I think Tanner wins game one. I think Lopez shuts us down game two. And give me Cooper in that rubber match. I think we walk out of here with 2 wins. And, you know, Doink can be done with the Twins winning streak with an asterisk. Just not buying
it. Knock some sense into them.
We're not buying it here. Give me Coop in that rubber match, 100%.
Yeah, you gotta play the real Sox now. You had your fun playing the White Sox for 7 out of 10 games of your winning streak. Okay, this also could really come bite the ass, but I hate picking the team to like not do well when they're doing well, so I have to choose them to win 2 out of 3 because I don't like jinxing stuff like that. So I also agree. They'll do a nice little sandwich, a little victory sandwich.
I think that you guys are forgetting one very important fact. This game's on the road. We're going sweet, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, the road. Wow.
True.
The away Sox. Yes. Not the even just Sox, the Red Sox. You got to face the road Sox. Let's go.
True.
Sweep all the way. Also get Vaughn Grissom back at second base. Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Sweep. All right. Should be fun. Closing thoughts, Doink?
Sox.
Ditto. Socks. Just ditto socks.
Love it.
And Twins bullshit 10-win winning streak.
Fraud watch.
Fraud. This is going to play. Please don't clip this. Whoever does the clips, don't clip this part.
I don't think we have haters like that. I mean, we could. I don't know.
I did have a closing thought. Tonight is game 6 as we're recording this of the NHL playoffs, and it is the final game for Jack Edwards, longtime broadcaster for the Bruins. He's been broadcasting for years and has been the voice of the Bruins on Nesson, their primary play-by-play caller, And he announced his retirement after this postseason run. Just unexpectedly started dealing with like speech issues. Doesn't know why. Went to the doctors. Like, they don't really know what's wrong with him. He's not like sick or anything. He just started having trouble speaking without like almost like long pauses between the sentences. Just like really, really difficult time speaking. So he's retiring. It's the last game that Nesson has the rights to in this playoff series. So it will be his last game, and hopefully the Bruins can win tonight and move on to the next round. So go Bees. And of course, honorable shout out to the Celtics, who are crushing it as well. So go Bees, go Seas, and of course, go Sox. On behalf of the Pesky Report, brought to you by Beyond the Monster, this has been episode 350, and we will see you guys next week.